I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, there were 8 candidates who sought to win the Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney, but now the field is down to 2, former 4th Court of Appeals Justice Luz Elena Chapa and longtime prosecutor Jane Davis are in the runoff for that nomination. The race is shaping up to be a referendum on the tenure of current DA Joe Gonzalez, who has endorsed Davis. Chapa is highly critical of Gonzalez's policies of progressive justice. With the backing of the police union, she is promising to restore the traditional cooperative relationship between police and the DA. Chapa and Davis join us to answer your questions. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a runoff for the Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney. It's between Jane Davis, a veteran prosecutor, and Luz Elena Chapa, a former 4th Court of Appeals Justice. We're going to be hearing from both candidates today. We're going to have them separately. Each gets a half hour, and the listeners can ask the questions. You can call in at 833-877-8255 with your questions. Early voting for the primary runoff is Monday, May 18th. It runs through Friday, May 22nd, and the runoff election day is Tuesday, May 26th. The winner of the runoff gets the Democratic nomination. They will face the Republican nominee, Ashley Foster, in November. In the second half hour, we're going to be joined by Luz Elena Chapa. But right now with us in the studio is Jane Davis. And Jane Davis, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here.
Our question, if you've got a question for these candidates, call in 833-877-8255. Jane Davis, tell us about yourself.
My name is Jane Davis. I'm running for the district attorney's office in the primary runoff. I am presently the chief of the juvenile unit of the DA's office. I believe that I need to express the reason I want to run for this position, and that is the rule of law in America, in Texas, is under attack. We need in Bexar County a strong district attorney who will make sure that the residents have confidence that the law will be followed, that they'll get a fair shake, that we will work well with law enforcement to protect the citizens of the county, that the victims will be understood and protected, and have confidence that everybody will be treated fairly. One of the things I think is important at this point in time is that we must protect the citizens and the residents of Bexar County against overreaching by the federal government in the form of the ICE agents. They have a right to come into our community, but they do not have a right to come in and break our laws. And as a district attorney, I would fight hard to prosecute ICE agents that overreach and that come in our community and break our laws. I have been in contact with a coalition of other district attorneys who have formed to gain strategies for combating ICE agents who are doing rogue ICE agent work, which is not really an ICE agent work at all. It's just being aggressive people that come into the community and hurt our residents. So at any rate, that's generally my view of what this office needs to do. But what the office actually is in charge of is we represent the state in criminal cases. We do a lot of things more than that, but basically represent the state in criminal cases in trials. And I've had over 400 jury trials to verdict. I think it's important that a person in this position know how to do that kind of work. I've worked in every section of the DA's office. I've worked in 2 different DA's offices, both Bexar County and Guadalupe County. So I've worked in enough situations to understand what a district attorney's office can do and what it should be doing. I've worked for 7 different district attorneys. And so I understand how best, what are the good practices, what works and what don't work in a DA's office. So that's the legal introduction for me, but I'm also a certified mediator. I am a commissioned lay pastor. I am a cattle rancher. I am a beekeeper, and I'm the parent of two grown sons.
All right, let's go to our first question, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Lily, and Lily, you're on the air with Jane Davis.
Hi, Ms. Davis. Question is, your opponent has spoken about how the district attorney is really more of a managerial position and that they don't really try cases. I would like to know your opinion and stance on that.
All right, Lily, thank you for your question. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
I'd like to thank them for their question.
Okay, thank you, David. I think it's important that the person that's leading this office know how to try a case from the ground up and know how to advise young prosecutors who may be working under that person. I think that leadership is important and respect is important. If you're working in an office and you know that the leader of the office doesn't know how to do what you have to do, that doesn't bring confidence for young prosecutors. So although there's a lot of managerial needs by the DA, I think it's important that the DA knows what the basic use and work in the office is and how to do it.
We're going to be joined by the other candidate in the runoff, Luz Elena Chapa, and talk to her about that as well and try and flesh out that question. I do want to ask you, there was a major case that the Bexar County District Attorney's Office prosecuted, the Melissa Perez case, where three San Antonio police officers were charged. Two were charged with murder. One was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and deadly conduct. They were acquitted, and it's been said that this case has done damage to the relationship between the DA's office and SAPD. Was it necessary to bring this case forward? So Melissa Perez was she died after, and she was having a mental health breakdown. She had been diagnosed as a schizophrenic. They said that she was coming at the officers with a hammer. There were some questions about what happened, but they opened fire on her and she died. So can you talk about this case and what is this? Has this done damage to the relationship with police?
Well, first of all, I'm very sorry that a death occurred in this case. It is a tragedy. The things that I would have to say are, I did not have anything to do with the case. I am the chief of the juvenile unit, so I only know the facts of the case as they were presented by the media. I did not take the file and look at it because it was not my responsibility or my purview. However, I think it is, in your answer to your question about causing damage, I think we need to understand that the law enforcement brings the case to the DA's office. They initiate whatever charges they think should be. And in this case, they initiated these murder charges and brought the case to the DA's office. The DA's office at that point picked it up and decided whether or not there was probable cause to proceed, took it to a grand jury, which sent an indictment. So that's the way the case went. But the DA's office did not just pick that case up out of thin air. It came from law enforcement who sent the case over.
Do you think it's the district attorney's office? I mean, some district attorneys would slow walk these types of things in order to preserve a relationship with police departments. And that's one thing that voters have to consider, having a district attorney who is going to hold law enforcement accountable.
I think that we need to know that law enforcement must be held accountable. Nobody wants bad law enforcement people on our streets, so we must hold them accountable. It is important that we do it fairly, and it is important that we examine the evidence that is there to know whether to proceed or not.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We got some more questions from listeners, and you can call in with your questions for Jane Davis. She is the candidate in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney. We're going to have her opponent, Luz Elena Chapa, on in the second half hour. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues after a 1-minute break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Jane Davis, veteran prosecutor. She is in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney. Her opponent in the runoff, Luz Elena Chapa, a former 4th Court of Appeals Justice, will be joining us in the second half hour. And the winner of the runoff will get the nomination. They'll face the Republican Ashley Foster in November. Let's go to a question from a listener, Abigail. Abigail, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there, Ms. Davis. I had a quick question.
Okay.
What is the difference between a dismissal and a deferred case?
Abigail, thanks for your question.
Sorry, David. A dismissal would be where the case does not come into the DEA's office. A deferred case is, well, I back up on the dismissal. It comes into the office, and then it is dismissed or rejected. A deferred case is where a person can be put on deferred prosecution, generally for a 6 month to a year period, with certain conditions that have to accompany that period of time. If that person meets those conditions, then that deferred case no longer appears on their record.
All right. Let's go to Kathleen on the phones. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is regarding domestic violence, and I would like both candidates actually to speak to the current status that Bexar County ranks for domestic violence in the state of Texas among all counties, and help us understand how and why thousands of domestic violence cases could have sat for so long unattended and unresponded to, and what kind of message that sends to women in Bexar County who are suffering from domestic violence. Thank you.
All right, Kathleen, and I will ask Luz Elena Chapa that same question in the next half hour. But Jane Davis.
It is true that we have a high level of domestic violence cases. It is not true that we have so many at this point in backlog. We have been working very hard in the DA's office to fulfill that backlog or to work those cases through. I think what happened to begin the backlog was COVID, and you had a situation where no cases could go to court, and so that we had to work through those cases when we finally got a court date. It is important to understand that we have boosted up the number of prosecutors to work on domestic violence cases, and as district attorney, I would continue that procedure of having high qualified people and enough of them to do the work of the working up the cases. It is also important to note that in my situation, if I were DA, I would make sure we had enough advocates working to work with domestic violence victims. And the situation is such now that we don't have enough advocates to actually get to that victim within 24 hours of the event. That person, and I'll say she because generally the victim is a she, but not necessarily always. But let's say she has called the law enforcement and has suffered a domestic violence assault. That person needs to know what options she would have and what help she could get to get out of that situation if that's what she wanted to do. So in my administration, I would make sure that victim had been reached within 24 hours of the event and continually reached. And another thing that I think we need to stress is a victim advocate should be an advocate for the victim, not an advocate for the DA's office. I'm not criticizing our victim advocates now. They do good work. There's just not enough of them. And I think we need to make sure that victim advocate is speaking for the victim. The victim needs to understand all the stakeholders that would serve and help. Our Family Justice Center, for example, will help with food, clothing, shelter, whatever, child care, whatever that person might need to be able to get out of that situation that is dangerous. So we need to really boost up the family violence situation, and that's what I would do as district attorney.
San Antonio and Bexar County officials have been talking about the creation of a jail diversion and recovery center that would be designed to steer some people accused of low-level offenses away from criminal justice system and incarceration, putting them more into treatment. There's a lot of interest in this. The city council, Public Safety Committee voted unanimously in January to work on this. The holdup right now is trying to see who will be the next DA and if they would support the Diversion and Recovery Center. So can you talk about if you become the DA, what would be your position on that?
I am in full support of a diversion center. I think it's important that we do not house mental health patients in our jail. I think it's not a smart way for government to behave. I think it is not a compassionate way to treat a person with mental illness, and I think it does no good to put them in jail. The people who need therapy, need medicine, they need to have a place they can go and be secure. Public safety is important. I understand that. But I'm highly in favor of a diversion center. And I'm highly in favor also of specialty courts that treat the actual criminogenic factors that a defendant has that has caused them to make their thinking errors and cause them to get in the crime situation that they're in. So I believe a diversion center would be helpful. I believe the specialty courts should continue, and I believe that we should work to face whatever the issues are. If a person gets arrested and maybe incarcerated, at some point in their lives, they're going to get out. If they get on probation, they're going to get off probation. It is important that the DA's office is recommending rehabilitation conditions that will make that person a better citizen, not make them worse and not make them a worse criminal.
Let's go to Emily on the phones. Emily, you're on the air with Jane Davis.
Hi. So I saw that you are a rancher. And I think that's really interesting. How does that view help your moral compass and your view for the DA's office?
Emily, thank you for the question.
Well, Emily, I've been a cattle rancher for a number of years, and I believe that you can learn a lot from ranching in that you have to learn patience, you have to learn ability to work together with various groups and with various animals. And it is important to note that there are not a whole lot of excuses in cattle ranching. You do the job and you do it right. And you have to understand that, and I think that carries over in my situation of wanting to be district attorney because I want to do it right. I want to do it well, and my whole mantra with anybody who would work for me is to do the right thing. Most of the prosecutors in the office know what the right thing is in each case, and my mantra will always be do the right thing.
Let's go to Velma on the phones. Velma, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Yes, I'm calling because I want to know, Jane, that I know you have been focusing a lot on ICE. Talk about, how you are going to hold them accountable. And I want to make clear that I am not against, let me say this. I don't agree with their tactics and what they, and how they use, the way they treat people. However, I feel that the focus should be on the crime that's happening in San Antonio. And so that's one of the things that I want to know from you as a constituent, as a consistent voter. I want to know what your plans are in having more, having a safer city.
Velma, thank you for your question. Jane Davis.
I think it's important to work together with law enforcement. I think we must follow the law, and that's what I intend to do. And in following the law, I think it's important that our own law enforcement agencies in Bexar County are able to observe what ICE agents are doing. And I would like for them to keep their body cams running so that if a situation has occurred where the ICE agent has gotten out of line, has become rogue, that evidence can be sent immediately to the DA's office for review to see whether or not a crime has been committed. That's how I think we should keep ICE agents obeying the law and not overreaching.
Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on the air with Jane Davis.
Hi, Jane. Thank you guys for having me. I got to switch up my question so I can make it quick for you all. So Bexar County had an environmental law enforcement division, and then that division got broken up. However, that Environmental Services Department is still there for the unincorporated areas, but they don't get help from the Sheriff's Department now. The sheriff refuses to extend the olive branch to other departments, such as like Public Works or environmental services, especially if you're illegal dumping. Would you extend that olive branch since the sheriff isn't really as helpful? They do respond, but there's officers that have told us nobody else is going to come out here, but here's your case number.
All right, Nick, thank you for the question.
I believe it's important that in the DA's office, we have a division that will work on environmental crimes, on elder abuse or elder fraud, on commercial crimes. We do have the Fraud Integrity Unit, or what is now called the Public Integrity Cybercrime Unit. I think it's important that we extend that unit to make sure that environmental crimes such as illegal dumping or waste contamination, all of those need to be addressed by this DA's office.
Let's go to Alan now on the phones. Alan, you're on the air.
Yes, I had a simple question. I just, I recognize that, you know, some people, they live behind gated communities and they live on ranches and stuff. And we've had that case where this individual was shot in a McDonald's parking lot and was released, 9 times? As a DA, how can you justify, like, how can you ensure that catch and release isn't going to be the outcome of your policy? Thank you.
All right, Alan, thank you. Jane Davis.
It is important to know that how a person, when he gets arrested, how bail is set. And it's important to know that the DA's office recommends bail. The magistrate or the judge is the one who sets the bail. The DA's office can make the recommendation and make a strong recommendation, a strong argument for high bail for offenders that are repeat offenders, and that's what we would do. As far as people who are a one-time offender that are just poor people, bail should not be set in a way to try to oppress any group of people, but we need to have public safety. And so somebody that is a repeat offender, we need to recommend a very high bail.
What is your position on the death penalty? Are you open to the death penalty? What would be your criteria?
Generally, I'm not in favor of the death penalty. I think it is a tool that the legislature has given us. I would not say I would never seek the death penalty, but I think it would be on a rare occasion and a very heinous crime and a person that was a continuing threat to society. So generally, I'm not in favor of it, but I'm not going to close it off.
The current District Attorney Joe Gonzalez not seeking re-election. You have been working for his office for a while. People see you as the candidate who will continue his policies. How accurate is that?
I think we have to be realistic about what works and what's good for the community. Joe has done some good things. He has been courageous in some of the things he's tried to do. I do think that many of the things that he has tried to do need some refinement, and we need to be working especially with law enforcement. We need to have all the stakeholders at the table to best run the way we run this county. And the DA has to work with all agencies, and I think it's important that we bring trust and that we bring efficiency, transparency, and justice. The people of the county and the other stakeholders, the agencies, need to know that the DA's office is going to do the right thing. We're not going to play games. We're not going to have a drama and place blame back and forth. We're going to do our job and do it well and efficiently and justly.
Should small possession of marijuana, should that be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law in Bexar County?
I think that marijuana possession should be on a case-by-case basis. The law is what the law is, and I'm not going to prejudge any case. I think we need to look at each case individually.
But the district attorney has a lot of leeway in what they want to do with that. And we can just look at marijuana and say it's legal in some states, not in Texas. A lot of people depend on it for medical purposes that I think are legitimate, and veterans and other people who have gone through a lifetime of hardship. So how do you look at that?
I think that you're absolutely correct, David, in that it is beneficial for some people. I have to, as district attorney, I would have to obey the law. And I do think that, however, we should go to the legislature, and that's where we should make any changes in what the law is.
All right. Jane Davis, she is a candidate in the runoff for the Bexar County nomination, Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear from her opponent in that race, which is Luz Elena Chapa. And the winner of that runoff will go to face the Republican in that race, Ashley Foster, in November. Early voting begins on this Monday. It goes till Friday. And the election is Tuesday, May 26th. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. It was great to have you on, Jane.
Thank you so much, David.
And we'll be right back. This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're hearing from the two runoff candidates in the Democratic primary for Bexar County District Attorney. Last half hour, we were able to chat with Jane Davis. Now we're joined by Luz Elena Chapa. The winner of the primary runoff will face Republican Ashley Foster in November. Call in with your questions, 833-877-8255. Luz Elena Chapa, welcome to The Source. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Davies. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Just call me Dave. And tell us about yourself. What do people need to know as they are considering how to vote? Tell me about yourself.
Okay, so my background is this. I'm a 52-year-old daughter of a Mexican immigrant mother who was raised in El Paso on the border. I, too, am a mother of three children, ages 21, 19, and 11. I'm a dual graduate of St. Mary's University. I'm a 26-year lawyer and former judge of 13 years. Had the privilege of serving Bexar County and other 31 counties, rather, as a justice on the Fourth Court of Appeals. And during my tenure, I authored 1,400 legal opinions, 800 in civil cases, and 600 in criminal cases, and ruled on thousands more as a panel member. And as you know, the Fourth Court is one of the most important courts in our state. And when I was elected, I was the youngest appellate judge in the entire state. So it was a great honor.
We had a question in the last half hour, and I promised I would ask you the same question. They wanted to ask about domestic violence in Bexar County. We have a lot of it. And they wanted to know why is it so bad and what can be done about it? And wanted to know why cases are being unattended.
So, Mr. I'm going to call you Dave.
Yeah.
It's my upbringing, excuse me. So that is the main reason why I decided to resign my judgeship and run to make some serious change within the office, because specifically the family violence division is extremely broken, as we have seen. It's no secret. We have one of the highest rates of domestic violence in the state, Bexar County does. And we also have one of the highest rates of unprosecuted cases in family violence. So the narrative has to change across our county. We have to begin to listen, to see, and to hear victims who suffer abuse. We have to make sure that we are working collaboratively with all stakeholders in this arena, making sure that abusers are held accountable. And look, at the end of the day, there are so many core issues that are plaguing our community. I had the privilege of sitting as a visiting judge in Bexar County and saw firsthand how broken our families are in this county. So a lot of core issues. We need funding for education to, you know, help break the generational cycle, and it continuously gets passed on to younger generations.
So how would you work with the victims? What victims' rights would they have in domestic violence cases? Because frequently you may focus on a prosecution, but the victims have a lot of needs.
Yes, sir, they do. And first off, with respect to victims, we need to make sure that prosecutors are trauma-informed, trained, because there is a significant lacking. I've met with victims, and it is my understanding that when they go into the prosecutor's office, they feel re-victimized, and they feel like they're reliving trauma that they've experienced. And so that has to change. We need to make sure that our prosecutors and our victim advocates have the funding they need. The office has the funding they need so that we can retrain how we are approaching these cases.
Let me ask you about the Melissa Perez case. That was Melissa Perez, who was shot and killed by San Antonio police officers during a mental health crisis at her Southwest Side apartment in June of 2023. Police were called there when she was having a mental episode. there was an interchange. They Paredes came at the officers with a hammer, and they opened fire, and she died. Two officers were charged with murder. One officer was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and deadly conduct. There was a large trial, and they were acquitted. It's been said that this case has done damage between the relationship between SAPD and the DA's office. They thought that this was overly aggressively prosecuted. Well, what do you think? What was this case mishandled?
Well, that's a loaded question, and I might have a loaded answer.
Let's hear it.
So, to be fair, I haven't looked closely at the evidence, and I don't know the procedural history in terms of how the arrests were made, for instance, how the investigation was done, whether it was done properly or not, and when and where it was submitted to the DA's office. But at first glance, let me begin to say this. My brother has schizophrenia, and so I have... it's personal to me, right, when I hear about one of these cases. So I went into sister mode and, looked at the reports on TV. But let me just back up a little bit. The broken relationship between law enforcement and the DA's office happened long before the Ms. Bettis' case. It's an unfortunate case. I know she was a mother. I know that the facts are heartbreaking. But these cases have to be looked at very carefully, and we have to work making sure that we are collaboratively working, making sure that law enforcement is turning over the evidence needed to prosecute a case and analyze it prosecute to the furthest extent of the law. So I can't give a judgment without having looked at the evidence and really analyzed the procedural history and how it all developed.
In your campaigning, you have talked a lot about trying to work with law enforcement in Bexar County, and you've made the allegation that the relationship is broken with the current district attorney, right? Is that fair?
Well, yes, sir. Based on news accounts and also a lot of conversations, yes, sir.
So how would you change that?
So I would bring everyone to the table. We need to start working for people of Bexar County. We need to set politics aside. We need to set egos aside and making sure that we are investigating cases, that strong evidence is being brought to the DA's office, making sure that we have strong cases from the ground up, making sure that those cases are prosecuted to the furthest extent of the law, and making sure that convictions stick through the appellate process. However, we know that restorative justice is the lifeline of people of Bexar County. So we need to make sure that certain cases are going the route of restorative justice and not simple, prosecution. We also need to make sure that, for instance, an ADA is available 24/7, and perhaps having someone at the stations to help them and develop, case law is forever evolving and changing. So making sure that we're working with law enforcement to bring in strong evidence-based cases.
Let's go to Abigail on the phones, 833-877-8255. And Abigail, you're on the air with Luz Elena Chapa.
Hi there, Ms. Chapa. I had a quick question for you. Actually, two, if you don't mind. How many times have you reviewed criminal cases to determine whether or not to prosecute? And then how many criminal jury trials have you been?
So, Ms. Abigail, thanks so much for calling in, and I appreciate the question. 600 criminal opinions I authored, and only one of those came out as a reversal. So I have, at a minimum, reviewed about 600 criminal cases, but reviewed actually thousands more as a panel member. And what that entails is appellate judge, you analyze a record from beginning to end and making sure that there was no trial error or reversible error, to making sure that constitutional rights were preserved and due process was followed all the way.
And the other question was about your history as a prosecutor.
So my experience is solely as a judge for 13 years, handling thousands of cases with only one reversal. My judicial record is pretty solid.
Right. So can you address the concerns that you don't have experience as a prosecutor?
Well, this is a leadership and administrative role. And it's no secret that this office needs some serious, strong leadership. And that means leveraging relationships with county commissioners, advocating for funding at the city, at the state level, and also on the national level. It's not good enough to point fingers saying that, you know, we haven't been provided with adequate funding. So we need a strong leader who knows how to lead, who knows how to build people, who knows how to value them, making sure that they are empowered within the office. Right now, there's a toxic culture that has only gotten worse. Morale is low. I've met with several current and former prosecutors, and we need some serious change. And that can only come from someone who is a proven, trusted leader. I know about accountability. I know about transparency and efficiency. My judicial experience is going to serve me well in this role.
And so you're running as an outsider who would be able to do those things at the DA's office?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. So let me ask you about where are you on the death penalty? What's your view on that?
So the death penalty is an option that we are given in this state. However, it should be only used in the most heinous of crimes and those types of situation. I personally would not make that decision on my own. I think I would have the last call on whether to proceed with the death penalty. I would have a roundtable discussion, making sure that we are dissecting the case from beginning to end, and only reserve that option of punishment. For instance, the Stephen Clare case that recently was at the DA's office for 3 years. He recently pled to 3 life term sentences. The death penalty, they were seeking the death penalty in that case, and it was taken off the table.
Right, so it's not off the table for you. You would use it sparingly, and you would consult with others before making those decisions. Is that right?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back with more questions from callers. You can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you got a question for Luz Elena Chapa, and she is a runoff candidate for Bexar County District Attorney, and we'll be right back after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. There's a runoff for the Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney between Jane Davis and also Luz Elena Chapa. She is a former 4th Court of Appeals Justice. She's with us in the studio right now, and she is taking listener questions. You can ask her about what her priorities are. How would she be the next Texas Bexar County District Attorney? But she also has to get through the November election. The Republican Ashley Foster is the candidate in that. So, Luz Elena Chapa, let me ask you about repeat offenders. We seem to have a lot of them. What needs to be done in order to get a hold of that situation?
Well, I think it's a strong dialogue with the prosecutors involved, with law enforcement, and with judges. And with the defense attorney, of course, sometimes a collaborative approach in any given case is the best, best solution. Making sure that repeat offenders, for small crimes are getting some opportunities to rehabilitate themselves. And if that's not shown, obviously there's a course of action to take. Perhaps there's a violation of community supervision. But in terms of the most heinous of crimes, for instance, let's assume that someone is jailed in prison for decades. We need to make sure that there are systems in place to protect victims and their families once that offender is released from prison in the event that there is, any given situation like that. But making sure that we are collaboratively working with all stakeholders to improve our criminal justice system here in Bexar County.
What would you do about ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement? There's some concern, other candidates have brought this point up, that the district attorney should have a role in trying to prosecute ICE if they find that they have broken the law.
Should not have a role or should?
They should take a role.
They should take a role. So, Dave, this issue is also extremely important to me growing up on the border because I did fear the men in green uniforms. And being that my mother's a Mexican immigrant, this obviously hits very close to home. So what we have to do is collaboratively work with local law enforcement. When and if an ICE agent comes to Bexar County and there's evidence of a crime, we need to gather that evidence and bring it to the district attorney's office. And then the district attorney's office will then take it from there and prosecute to the furthest extent of the law.
San Antonio Bexar County officials have been exploring the creation of a jail diversion and recovery center that would be designed to steer some people who are accused of low-level offenses away from incarceration and put them into treatment. These are particularly people with mental illness, intellectual or developmental disabilities, or substance use disorders. The city and the county have moved forward in trying to make this happen, but the question is, will the next district attorney be in support of this? So can you tell us, should San Antonio, should Bexar County have a jail diversion center?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think we're a little behind with respect to having created a diversion center. At any given time, we have at least 100 people jailed in the Bexar County Jail who belong in a mental health bed. So we know that there's an urgent need for that. We're behind, for instance, Harris County has one. It's up and running and has been very successful. I've been in talks with Jalen Jameson, who is the head of the Center Care for Health Services, and also Dr. Greenfield, who handles all things criminal justice for Bexar County. So there is going to be a serious collaborative effort, making sure that all stakeholders involved are collaborating and making sure we have the best diversion center in the state. I know that Sheriff Javier Salazar has also been instrumental in starting that dialogue, but we need to move quicker because now, as you know, we have a problem with the overcrowding jails where our deputies are seeking space for inmates outside of this county.
Let's go to Lewis on the phones. And Lewis, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is that repeat offenders, most of the time, it's because they can't find adequate employment to stay employed. What's your plan, or is there a plan to try to mitigate the employment issue? Thank you.
Okay, well, Lewis, thank you for that. The DA doesn't really create jobs, is not really focused on economic development for the city or the county, but you can decide how you prosecute people, and do you consider the situation of someone, they break the law? Are they doing it to because they can't find a job, or because they are just, you know, a criminal? How do you handle that?
Well, it obviously depends on the level of the offense. For low-level crime, cite and release has been, a good program because it allows offenders to remain at home and also remain employed and continue their employment. With respect to employment,
let me refine the question. Okay. So Bexar County has used cite and release for certain nonviolent misdemeanors, including marijuana possession, misdemeanor theft, driving with an invalid driver's license, criminal mischief. So would you expand, maintain, narrow, or end cite and release?
Well, district attorney's website hasn't been updated since 2022, with respect to the cite and release policy. So assuming that, first of all, I am in favor of a cite and release policy, but there's a lot of data that has been generated based on it being in place for several years. I would like to dissect that data and make informed decisions. Data-driven are better informed decisions, collaboratively also, again, with those who are, who have a stake in the outcome. And I also don't believe in creating blanket policies that perhaps might negatively affect other sectors of our community.
Another caller, let's go to Everly. Everly, you're on the air with Luz Helena Chapa.
Hi, Ms. Chapa. I had a question. Yes, Do you believe that members of law enforcement should be held accountable if they commit a crime? And if so, do you intend to keep the current Civil Rights Division?
Thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Did you say your name was Beverly?
Everly.
Everly. Thank you, Everly. Yes, absolutely. From the very beginning, Everly, I have stated that whether you're in a green uniform or a blue uniform, you will be held accountable if there is evidence of a crime, and you will be prosecuted to the furthest extent of the law. Now, again, data-driven informed decisions are the best decisions. Whether there's room to combine the public integrity unit, and the civil divisions will, you know, be discussed at a later date. But I do think that it is important that anyone who commits a crime in Bexar County will be held accountable, whether they're a member of law enforcement or not.
How would you recruit and retain experienced prosecutors if you become the new DA?
So that's another loaded question, Dave.
I mean, it's one of these really critical questions.
Absolutely, it is. So leveraging my relationships with the commissioner's court is key. And having, since the current administration has been in office, we've lost 140 prosecutors. That is unprecedented. So in order to making sure that we are rebuilding this office with full staff and those who are mission-driven, victim-centered, have that mindset is going to be so key. I am willing to go to outer counties and recruit them myself. Former prosecutors have tried to communicate with me and saying that they're interested in coming back. But let me be perfectly clear. I haven't had any conversations with, positions within the office.
So the DA, you must work with police, but also you're saying you would hold police accountable when the evidence supports that. So, but also you are endorsed by multiple law enforcement agencies here in Bexar County, SAPD, Law Officers Association. So how do you balance that?
Well, I balance it because I firmly believe that you can't be an effective DA without having a strong working relationship with local law enforcement. We have to collaboratively work together, and we can't continue to work against one another. Cases are being lost, and we need to truly send a strong message across our county that we do want to improve public safety. I want to make sure that my 78-year-old mom, when she goes to HEB at 9 p.m., gets out of her car to go buy milk. I want to make sure that she's not going to be robbed in the parking lot or carjacked when she leaves that parking lot. And, we know about break-ins. We know that there is, a shooting potentially almost every night. And most of those shootings have to do with family violence, domestic disturbances. So there's a lot of work that we need to do to making sure that we are collaboratively working with local law enforcement. And let me be clear, it's a badge of honor for me, but that doesn't give me, give them a pass if in the event that there is evidence of a crime a local law enforcement officer has committed. So there is a balance.
What kind of grade would you give District Attorney Joe Gonzalez, A through F? Like, if you were to give him a grade, like, what would you give him? You've been critical of him. Well, it's kind of defined that.
Well, that's a tough question, and Dave, you don't know me. You don't know me. This
No.
is the first time that we. But I'm extremely honest. I'm transparent, and I believe in accountability. And a few weeks ago, we were at a Northwest Democrats meeting, and Joe Gonzalez decided to berate me in public, and then he lunged at me and put his finger in my face and told me he could put his finger in my face because I'm no longer a sitting judge. So I'd say that, leaning into that question and the statistics on domestic violence and not holding abusers accountable across our county is unacceptable. So I'll give him an F.
An F. Luz Helena Chapa, former 4th Court of Appeals Justice. She is in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for Bexar County District Attorney. In the previous half hour, we heard from Jane Davis, a veteran prosecutor, also running for that nomination. Early voting begins on Monday, May 18th. Election day is Tuesday, May 26th. The winner of the runoff will face Republican Ashley Foster in November. Luz Helena Chapa, great to meet you. Great to have you on.
Thank you. Great to meet you. And I appreciate the opportunity to meet your listeners.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.